be born of a virgin's womb.
What king could die for all men's sin and be laid in a borrowed tomb?
What man could raise up from the dead and ascend to heaven's throne?
No one else could do what he has done. No one else could take these burdens from me.
Love can take a ruined life and make it pure and whole.
There is only one man who can set a sinner free.
No one else could do what he's done for me. No one else could take these burdens from me. No one else can melt this heart of stone. It took Jesus and the blood he shed on Calvary. No one else could do what he's done for me. No one else could take these burdens from me. No one else can melt this heart of stone. It took Jesus and the blood he shed on.
Amen. A lot of truth to that. Amen.
Amen.
Tried a lot of things before I tried Jesus, and none of them did it, right? But Jesus did it.
Amen.
Once and for all. Amen.
Amen.
Jesus satisfies. Amen. Well, I appreciate the service thus far. I appreciate Cody reading the scripture this morning. As we head into a new year, I'm always drawn back to this scripture for some reason. Every year, it seems like, as we're heading into a new year, my mind and my heart goes to Joshua chapter 1. I can't tell you the times that I've, around this time of year, got into the book of Joshua and began to read because of the theme of what's happening here. And many of you are very familiar with it, but I'm going to give a little bit of a backdrop into exactly what is going on here in the book of Joshua. They're getting ready to start a new journey, a new territory, a new phase of life is getting ready to begin for the children of Israel, and I want to speak about that to you today. Hard to believe 2019 is coming to an end, amen? I mean, wow. 2020, as the pastor said, if the Lord tarries until Wednesday, we'll be going into a new year, and it'll be 2020. I was thinking, when I think of 2020, I think of perfect sight, and I understand some people have 2015, but I think 2020 is the standard, and I thought how fitting it would be for Jesus to come, amen, and our faith becomes sight in 2020. You say, is that going to happen, brother? I don't know. No man knows the hour or the day. It could happen before 2020, but I'm just excited about it. But if the Lord tarries and we head into a new year and we start this year of 2020, I don't know about you, but I want to live this coming year in victory. I was thinking about this story in the book of Joshua. I want to give you a little bit of a backdrop. I realize I'm speaking to a group of people this morning that probably know or are very familiar with what's happening here in the book of Joshua. But just for to give something to go by, I want to kind of go back a little ways and lay a little groundwork as to exactly how we got to Joshua chapter 1. You see, God made a promise back in Genesis, I believe it's chapter 12. God called a man by the name of Abram out of the Ur of the Chaldees, and he said, Abram, I'm going to make of thee a great nation. I'm going to make of thee a people that's going to be as the stars of the sky and as the sand of the sea. And he said, I'm going to bless you, Abram, and I'm going to bless those that bless you, and I'm going to curse those that curse you. And he said, I'm going to do something great through you, Abram. And you know the story. Abraham had a son, the promised seed, Isaac. And Isaac had a son and named Jacob and Esau. And God blessed Jacob, the twin of that Jacob and Esau. And after some time, Jacob became Israel. And God said, you're a prince with God. And he changed the name of Jacob to Israel. And Israel had some sons. And as I said, you know the story of Israel and his sons, and how that one of his sons, Joseph, was his father's favorite son. And the Bible says that his brothers sold him into slavery, and he went down into Egypt. He went to Potiphar's house, and then he went down into Egypt. And how that God was, Joseph said, ye meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. And how that God was doing something through Joseph. He was protecting the children of Israel, and he was protecting them from the famine. And Jacob and his children, Israel and his children, ended up going down into Egypt. And I believe they stayed longer than they should have. But the Bible says that God blessed them, and they multiplied, and everything was going great. But then the Bible says in Exodus that there rose up a Pharaoh that knew not Joseph. And God's children, the children of Israel, were brought into bondage. They became slaves down there in Egypt. They were at the demand of the taskmaster Pharaoh. And I know that many of us understand this is a beautiful picture of the man that is once a slave to sin and to the taskmaster Pharaoh, which is the devil, and how that we're in bondage and in slavery. But after some time, God sent a deliverer. Thank God that God sent a deliverer. Amen. And Moses came, and Moses said to Pharaoh, he said, Pharaoh, hey, let my people go. And you know the story, how that there was 10 plagues, and that 10th plague was the Passover lamb, and the blood was shed, and it was applied to the doorpost. And God said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And God told the children of Israel, hey, I'm going to deliver you out of Egypt. Aren't you glad for the day in your life? I just want to stop and say, it really doesn't have a whole lot to do with my message. Well, it's all of my message. I'm just glad today for the day in my life when the blood was applied and I was delivered from the bondage of sin. I was set free from the taskmaster, from Pharaoh, from the devil, and I was able to go out as a child of God, free from that slavery. Aren't you glad for that? Jesus said, whom the Son has set free is free indeed. And I sure am glad that October the 16th, 2005, I had the blood applied to my life, and I walked out a free man. Amen. And that's what the children of Israel did. God set them free. And you know the story, how that they went through the Red Sea. Moses led them out, and they went through the Red Sea, which I believe the Bible teaches in the New Testament, talks about the Red Sea being a type of baptism. And they went across that Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness. And God said, hey, Moses, I've got a place for you that I promised to Abraham a long time ago. It's a land that flows with milk and honey. He said, it's a place that I've given to you and to my people to live. And God tells Moses, hey, you lead those children over to that place, and y'all inhabit that land. But you know the story, how that the children of Israel came across the wilderness there. Not a long journey. They really didn't have very far to go, but yet they come to a place called Kadesh Barnea. And you know the story. The children could sing the song, how that God, that Moses sent the spies in. The Bible says that it was 12 spies that went in, and it says 10 were bad and 2 were good. And who would like to stand up and sing that for us? Amen. No, I'm just playing. Marcus said he'll do it. Amen. 10 were bad and 2 were good, right? And you know those two slaves, I mean those two servants that were good, Joshua and Caleb, they come back and they said, hey, we can do this. We can take this land. He said, I think the wording is, they said the other children of Israel said, we're like grasshoppers in their sight. There's giants in that land. We can't go up. And Joshua and Caleb stood up and said, are you crazy? Hey, they're bread for our God. He said, this is a piece of cake. We can go in. God, that's nothing to God. You see, that phrase come from the Bible. It's a piece of cake. God said, hey, Joshua and Caleb said, this is bread for God. This is nothing. God can take these people, but you know the story. They murmured and they complained and they rose up against Moses and Joshua and Caleb. And the Bible says that God got mad at them. And God said to Moses, he said, I'm going to destroy this people and I'm going to raise up a new people. And Moses said, God, please don't do that, God. The Egyptians will think that you couldn't keep your word. Please don't destroy these people, God. And God said, Moses, they're a stiff-necked people. But I tell you what, Moses, I won't destroy them, but I'll tell you what's going to happen. They're going to wander around in this wilderness for 40 years. He said, everybody over the age of 20 besides Joshua and Caleb are not going to go into the promised land. They're not going to Canaan. They're not going to live that life of victory. And so here we are in Joshua chapter number 1, where the children of Israel have been wandering around in that wilderness for 40 years. They've been stumbling over the same old campfires. They've been eating the same food. You know, God fed them. I do want to say this before I get into my message. You know, even when they were disobedient, okay? God said, I'm going to punish them for their disobedience, for their disbelief, for their dissatisfaction. I'm talking about they murmured and complained the whole time out there in the wilderness. Would to God we would have died in Egypt. Why can't we go back to where we came from? They had that good food down there, and we've got this manna out here. Why, God, we want to go back. They were dissatisfied. They were in disbelief. They were disobedient, and they were distant from the land of promise that God had given to them. And here they are. They're wandering around. But can I tell you, even in their disobedience, even in their disbelief, even in their dissatisfaction, can I tell you, God supplied for them? I just want to bless his name this morning. Even when we are disobedient, God will still supply for us. Now, I'm not telling you, hey, go out and be disobedient to God. That's actually the total opposite of my message this morning. But I'm just glad to report to you today that our God's good, and that's just who he is, and God will supply for you. There may be somebody sitting here saying, Brother David, I'm not living in the wilderness this morning. God's meeting all of my needs. Hey, he met all their needs. He supplied for them. He sustained them. He shielded them. During the daytime, they had that cloud to protect them from that hot sun. At the night, they had that fire in the sky to give them heat and to guide their way. I mean, he sent manna from heaven every morning for them to eat. He put shoes on their feet. The Bible says that never waxed old. I mean, I'm talking about God was supplying. God was sustaining. God was shielding those people out there even in the wilderness while they were disobedient, while they were dissatisfied, while they were disbelief of God, while they were distant from the land of promise and victory, God was still taking care of them. You ought to just praise God for that right now. I'm telling you, hey, if you ever really get a hold of that this morning, I'm telling you right now, if we ever really get a hold of the fact that even in our disbelief and our disobedience, God is good to us, we'll praise him for that. The song said this morning, I can't help but praise the Lord. Even when I'm doing bad, he's still good to me. Our God's good, brethren. We've got a good God. Amen. And these people have been out there and they've been doing all these things, but God's been taking care of them. But I got to say this, and I hope I'm not doing harm to the scripture. I hope this thing ain't coming off. I tear up lapel mics. I'm rough on them. I hope I'm not doing harm to the scripture this morning. But I'll tell you this, there was a time in Numbers, I believe it was chapter 11, where the children of Israel said, we loathe this bread. You know, it gets old eating the same thing all the time, don't it? Some of you are like, nah, pastor said, nah, I like eating the same thing all the time, amen. Even the pastors and the Brother Johns of the world like a little bit of a change, amen. I mean, you know, every now and then we can switch it up a little bit. I love ham, amen. How many of you like a good salted ham, amen? Yeah. But you know, after Christmas, Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, I don't know that I'm going to be cooking a ham this week. Right? You say you wouldn't be cooking it anyway, brother. That's right. We got an Instapot. Amen. That's what I'm talking about. We got us an Instapot. You cook a ham in 30 minutes. Amen. Putting a plug in for the Instapot. Amen. But it's pretty good. Amen. But I don't want to eat ham every day. As much as I like Chick-fil-A, I was thinking about that. Some of you that work at Chick-fil-A, I don't know. I should have asked before I gave this illustration. But Nick probably doesn't enjoy Chick-fil-A as much as we do. He's looking at me like, hold on, Brother David, don't be using that. That's a bad illustration, amen. I kind of like Chick-fil-A, but, you know, I love them chicken minis. I mean, I've always kind of pictured that's what the children of Israel were eating. The quail, you know, was on the in the manna, you know. I mean, that's a chicken mini. If that ain't manna and quail from heaven, I'm telling you, that's what it is, right? But I couldn't eat that all the time. Not every single day. I know some of you are looking at me like right now, I can, Brother David, every day. I can eat the same thing. I'm a creature of habit. But anyway, I'm sure after 40 years, you know what I'm saying? After 40 years, every day, it probably got old. Those shoes, they never waxed old. And I'm not trying to do harm to the scripture. Please forgive me if I am. I'm a youth pastor. I can't help but think like this. You reckon they stunk? I told my wife I was going to tell a joke this morning. I'm not a good joke teller, so I couldn't mess this up. But I read where somebody said, God created me upside down. He said, my nose runs and my feet smell. Amen. I said, God created me upside down. Amen. I just knew I was going to say my nose runs and my feet stink. And that would have killed my whole joke, right? No, my feet smell, right? My nose is supposed to smell, but my feet do. Amen. I don't know, but I'm imagining after wearing the same shoes for 40 years, they were probably starting to stink. God was taking care of them. God was supplying for them. God was sustaining them. God was shielding them out there in that wilderness. But God, that wasn't God's will for them. No, God had a place for them where they could live in victory. God didn't want them out in the wilderness. And can I tell you this morning, I'm afraid there's a lot of Christians living in the wilderness. And I want to preach to you this morning, getting out of the wilderness. Getting out of the wilderness. I don't want to live in the wilderness, Brother Calvin. I know God will take care of me out there. I know what this Bible teaches. I don't care what the charismatics say. I know what this book teaches. And even if I disobey God, even if I disbelieve in God and I'm dissatisfied with God, my God is so good. He sealed me unto the day of redemption. My God is going to supply for me regardless of what I do, because this ain't about me and it's about Him. And He's going to do right because He is right. And I understand if I disobey God, He's still going to supply for me. He's still going to sustain me. He's still going to shield me out there in that wilderness. But can I tell you, I don't want to live in the wilderness. I want to go into the land of victory. I want to get into the land of promise. You say, Brother David, I thought Canaan was a picture of heaven. I don't believe for 1 minute Canaan is a picture of heaven. You see, there was battles in Canaan. There were enemies in Canaan. There was death in Canaan. No, Canaan is a picture of the victorious Christian life. It's the place where God wants His children living. Now, it's not heaven, because there's not going to be death in heaven. There's not going to be enemies in heaven. There's not going to be trials and wars in heaven. No, that's here on this earth. But God says, hey, I've got a place where I will be with you here on this earth, and you can have victory. And I'm telling you this morning, brethren, hey, in 2020, I want to get out of the wilderness. I want to live in Canaan's land. I want to live in victory. And I hope you do too. As we look at this, and now we're up to date here. As we look in Joshua chapter number 1, I want to read a couple verses. The Bible says, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise. I've got underlined in my Bible at home those two words, arise, go. God says, Joshua, now's the time. You tired of wandering around in that wilderness? You tired of the mundane, the monotony, the same old, same food, same shoes, same campfires? Same stuff day in and day out. No victory. No battles being won. You tired of wandering around in that wilderness? I think it was Brother Brian said this one time. I liked it. Said it's like ice skating up a mountain. You ever feel like you're just ice skating up a mountain? Don't go real well. I tried skiing up a mountain one time. It didn't work. I tried skiing down a mountain one time and it didn't work too well, much less skiing up a mountain. But you kind of like you ice skating up a mountain. You say, Brother David, I feel like I'm just spinning my wheels. Can I tell you, hey, today there's an opportunity for change. That's my first point. There is an opportunity for change. God told Joshua, hey, Time's to change, Joshua. Time to get out of this wilderness, Joshua. Time to go and take the land that I've given to you. Arise and go. There's an opportunity for change. I don't know about you, but hey, I want some change in my life in 2020. I want God to take me into a land that's flowing with milk and honey. I want God to win some battles and give me some victories and let me see Him do things that will just blow my mind. I'd love for our church to see in 2020 God take us into the promised land. I'm talking about see God send revival and do things that we couldn't even imagine God would do. And God says, Joshua, here's your chance. There's an opportunity for change. He said, it's a new day, Joshua. It's a new year, brethren. Another opportunity. You say, what is this opportunity of change that Joshua has here? He said, Joshua, I've got a place for you. Look in verse number 2. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise. Go over this Jordan, thou and all the people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. God said, Joshua, I've got a place for you. There's an opportunity for change, Joshua. There's a place that you can go. A new place, Joshua. Can I tell you, hey, God's got a new place for you. If you're in the wilderness this morning, you've been wandering around aimlessly, you've been spinning your wheels in your Christian life, so to speak. You understand what I'm saying? You just feel like you're not getting anywhere spiritually. Hey, God says, I've got a place for you. I've got a place for you. Not only does He say that, but He says, hey, I got a promise for you. Did you see what He said in verse 3? He said, as I said unto Moses. He said it again in verse number 5. He said, as I was with Moses. He said again in verse number 6, he said, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. In verse number 13, he said, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God hath given you rest and hath given you this land. He said, Joshua, there's an opportunity for change. I have a place for you, but I've even got some promises for you, Joshua. Hey, can I tell you, God's got some promises. You're in the wilderness this morning, God says, hey, I've got some promises for you. Not only that, he says, hey, I've got power. Look in verse number 5. He said, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so shall I be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. He said, Joshua, nobody's going to be able to stand before you. You think it's good out here in this wilderness? Wait till you get over in that land and I start fighting battles for you and I start destroying the enemy for you and I start showing you what I can do, Joshua. He says, I've got some power, Joshua. There's an opportunity for change. I've got a place. I've got some promises. I've got power. He says, Joshua, I've even got prosperity. And I'm not a prosperity preacher this morning, but I'm telling you, God said, Joshua, I will prosper you. Look in verse number 7. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. God said to Joshua, Joshua, hey, I've got a promise. I've got a place. I've got some power. Hey, I've got all these things for you, Joshua. I will take you over there, and I'll prosper you. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to, you know, send a seed offering and God's going to, you know, give you $1 million. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about God's going to take care of you. God's going to prosper you. God says, I'm going to help you to be successful in this Christian life, Joshua. If you'll go over into this land that I'm talking about, if you'll get out of this wilderness that you've been wandering around in, he says, Joshua, I've got a place for you. I've got some promises. I've got some power. He says, I've got prosperity. He says, I've got peace. Look at verse number 13. So many people need peace in our day. Remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God hath given you rest and have given you this land. Look at verse 15. Until the Lord have given your brethren rest. God says, Joshua, I've got a place for you. I've got some peace for you. I mean, people in our day, goodness, just up and down, off and on, in and out. I mean, just rough waters. You can see it all over their faces, to and fro. God says, hey, I've got peace for you. Might be some storms, might be some battles, might be some enemies over there in Canaan, but I'm going to give you some rest. I'm going to give you peace, Joshua. It's an opportunity for change. Is there somebody here this morning, you say, our marriage has just been on the rocks. It's been out of control. My life, it just feels like it's spiraling downhill. I just feel like I'm about to crash. Can I tell you, hey, God says there's an opportunity for change, and I've got some peace for you. I'll let you lay your head on your pillow at night and go to sleep and sleep good. Though the world around us is tumbling and crumbling, God says, I'll give you peace, Joshua, if you'll get out of this wilderness you're living in. He says, I've got peace. Not only that, I think this is the greatest of all. He says, I'll give you my presence. Look at verse number 5. And I don't mean Christmas presents, young people. He said, amen. I'm surprised I didn't get an amen out of one of the juniors this morning. God's going to give me presents? Amen. Hey, God gave you presents. Every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from above, from the Father of lights, with whom is no variables, neither shadow of turning. If you got a present this Christmas, you ought to praise God for it because it came from Him. Amen. But that ain't the presents I'm talking about. I'm talking about, He said in verse number 5, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Reminds me of the New Testament Hebrews. He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. I'm with thee always. Yeah, look at verse number 9. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. God told Joshua, Joshua, you go into that land, that new place I've got for you. I've got some power. I've got some promises. I've got my presence, Joshua. I'm going to go with you. I know I told Moses, if y'all go up 40 years ago, you know what? The children of Israel wanted to go up without God. I don't know if you remember that, but they wanted to go on anyway. They said, oh God, we changed our mind. We want to go. We want to go. And God told Moses, he said, you tell them they can go, but I'm not going with them. But God says, Joshua, I'm ready to go with you. You want to go into that land that's flowing with milk and honey? You want to live in victory, Joshua? I'm going to go with you. And now this is my message this morning. I'm getting close. I'm going to come to an end here soon. But I'm telling you, we're heading into a new year. And I'm telling you, hey, it's an opportunity for change. There's some people here this morning that are living in the wilderness, wandering around, spinning their wheels, ice skating up a mountain, just wondering why? I'm you know, God, just that food He's giving me just don't taste as good as it used to. Those shoes I'm wearing don't smell as good as they used to, right? That sun and that fire and that shield is just not, and that cloud is just not shielding me like it used to. I'm kind of tired of being out here in this wilderness. I want to go over there to that land that's flowing with milk and honey. I want to go over there where God's given victory. I want to go over there to that land that God's promised to me. And God says, all right, let's go. Arise, go. And I'm saying to you this morning, I'm saying to me this morning, I'm saying to our young people this morning, hey, you want to get up and go into the victorious Christian life? God says, come on, let's go. Arise, go. It's an opportunity this morning, an opportunity for change. And I'm not talking about the kind that Washington brings, amen. But He's saying, hey, I've got some change for you, an opportunity for change. You say, well, what's it going to take, Brother David? I think it's going to take this. And I'm going to give you a couple things real quick and I'll be done. We're going to have to observe the challenges. We're going to have to observe the challenges. Look at chapter 2 real quick. Chapter 2, the Bible says in verse number 1, and Joshua the son of Nun sent out Shittim, two men, to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came into a harlot's house named Rahab, and they lodged there. I'm not going to read down through there, but look at verse 23. It says, so the two men returned and descended from the mountain and passed over and came to Joshua, the son of Nun, and told him all things that befell them. You say, what happened here, Brother David? Joshua sent them over to see what was over there, what challenges lied ahead. You say, do you think God was okay with that? I do. If he wasn't, I think he would have rebuked Joshua. I don't think for one minute that Joshua was going to see what challenges he wanted to run from. No, he was going over to see what challenges they were going to defeat. Don't forget, Joshua is the man that came back the first time 40 years ago and said, "They be but bread for us. It's a piece of cake." I don't think for one minute Joshua was saying, "Let's go over there and spy out that land and decide whether we're going to go or not." No, Joshua was doing what the Bible teaches a man should do, and that's count the cost. Jesus said, does a man build a tower or build a house without counting the cost first? Does a man not, before he goes to war, doesn't he count the cost and see what's going to cost him, right? No, Joshua said, we're just going to see what's over there. We're going. Oh, don't you worry. We're going across that river like God said. We're just going to see what's over there before we go. He said, we're going to observe the challenges that lie before us. I say this morning, hey, you want to get out of the wilderness? You want to live in victory? I believe there's some people here this morning, maybe some young people. You've been in the wilderness for some time. I tell our young people often, and I want to get this plug into the parents while I've got your attention. I don't understand why some of our young people grow up in church. I pray to God. I've been on my children about it. They grow up in church, and I mean, when they're in the first, second, third grade, boy, they can't wait to get up and quote their memory verse, to stand up and testify in a testimony service. I mean, they're just waiting for somebody to call on them to come up and pray for the offering. I mean, they want to serve God with their life. You'd have a sword drill, man. They got their Bible out. They can't wait. I used to do King's Kids. I know how it is, but know what? I'm working with youth now, and you know what happens? Somewhere along the line, I don't know what happens, but I think some of them get stuck out there in the wilderness and they don't want to testify for God no more. You can't barely get them to sing for God. They don't want to serve God. No, they want to sit there with their face in their cell phone. They want to hang out with their friends. They want to be cool. They want to do all these things. They want to live in the wilderness is what they're doing. And I'm saying to some of you young people this morning that once we're living in victory, hey, I'm telling you, it's time for a change. Why don't you go back to the way you were in the third grade when you wanted to serve God, when you wanted to pray for the offering, you wanted the pastor to call you up and testify, you wanted to do something for Jesus. Hey, this morning, why don't you realize there's an opportunity for change? But that goes for us too as adults. There's some people living in the wilderness this morning. You know what you need to do? You know what we need to do? We need to observe the challenges. We need to look out and say, what's keeping me here? What is it that's stopping me from living in victory? I'm telling you, if we're going to do this thing, if we're going to get real with God, hey, we got to see what it is that's stopping us. Is it that website? Is it that favorite television program? You say something that silly, brother? Hey, I don't know. There may be some Christian here today that's living in the wilderness because they can't let go of that silly sitcom that they like to watch all the time. And they know God's done told them, that stuff's garbage, that stuff's trash. You need to get rid of that stuff out of your life. And you just decide, you know what? I'm going to wander around in the wilderness for the next 40 years because I love my sitcoms. You say, that's silly, Brother David. Hey, it's so. It's so. That cell phone, young person, is that keeping you in the wilderness? That Snapchat? Those text messages that you're sending late at night that mom and dad don't know about, and you know how to work a phone, you know how to delete it, you know how to get rid of it so that nobody else can find it. Hey, is that what's keeping you in the wilderness? You gonna let that stuff keep you there for 40 years? Is it that music that you love listening to when nobody else is around? You're on your way to work, sir. You got your coffee and you blast that old music that you used to love and your flesh gets to loving it and going and bebopping. And Brother Allen told us he almost got to dancing at a family reunion one time. I told you, Brother Allen, I wanted to see that. There ain't many times I'd be for that, but if you would have got up and danced, I would have watched. Nah. But anyway, I'm just saying, hey, see, I'm carnal. I'm just saying, you know, we just got to observe the challenges that are before us. That would be a challenge for me not to watch Brother Allen dance. Just being real. But anyway, I'm telling you, hey, observe the challenges. What is it this morning? I'm serious. I don't want to keep naming stuff because it, just sure as I name it, I'm not going to name yours. I know what it is in my life, and I believe the Holy Spirit of God, if you're a Christian, will show you what it is in your life. What is that challenge that is keeping you out of the land of promise? What is that obstacle that's in your way? What are those walls that you need to fall down this morning? I'm telling you, we've got to observe the challenge that's before us. Josh said, go in and look and see what we're up against. Can I tell you, he already knew they're nothing for God. Can I say this? Hey, whatever that challenge is that's in your mind, I'm telling you, there's some people here right now that know. I mean, the Holy Spirit's telling you, this is it. This is it. And it may be something I'd never even think of. It's money. It's a promotion. It's a scholarship. It's sports. It's your boyfriend. It's your girlfriend. It's there's something in my way. And I know what it is. right? Can I tell you? It's nothing for God. Now, I know it's big to us, but I'm like Joshua. It's just bread for our God. It's a piece of cake. He's knocked walls down for thousands of years. He can knock your walls down. He can give you victory. He can give me victory. So he said, observe the challenge. Number three, he said this, you have to obey the commandments. You're going to have to obey the commandments. Look in verse number 7 of chapter 1, and I'm going to hurry. Look at verse number 7 of chapter 1. He said, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. God says, Joshua, you want to go over here and live in victory? I'll tell you what you're going to need to do. You're going to have to obey my commandments. You're just going to have to obey my commandments. You say, well, God, your commandments don't make sense. If you read through the book of Joshua, you'll see numerous things that God says to do that does not make sense. You want me to give you a couple? God said, Joshua, you tell those priests to bear up that ark, and I want them to step out into that Jordan River and walk across it, and I want y'all to follow them. You say, well, Brother Dave, that's not a big deal. They baptize people in the Jordan River all the time. Well, when I read, I've read, and you've probably read before too, the Bible even says this was the time where the riverbanks were overflowing. We're not talking about the Rapidan River here. You can step across that just about any time. But God says, Moses, I want you to take that ark. I'm talking about the ark of God. Even if the river wasn't flowing real heavy, I mean, we're getting ready to take the ark of God, the ark of the covenant, the most prized possession of the children of Israel, and step out in the river with it. I don't know about you, but if I had about $1 million, I don't think I'd even get in the Rapidan River with it. Because I know me, I might slip on a rock and fall. And then somebody in Greene County would get my money if I was in Madison when I fail. Amen. But anyway, hey, he said, step out in the Jordan River. God, that doesn't make sense. Doesn't have to make sense, Moses. I said, do it. You know what else he done? Chapter 5, I believe it is. He said, Joshua, I keep saying Moses. He said, Joshua, I want you to circumcise all the men of war. They've been out there in that wilderness, and they hadn't been circumcised like I had told the children of Israel to be. I want you to circumcise the men of war. And I won't get into detail here, but I'll tell you this. It doesn't make sense to injure the army before the battle. This was before the days of medicine, okay? I'm sure they had some herbs and stuff, but I don't know if it took care of that. I mean, hey, he said, I want you to circumcise the army. Say, God, that doesn't make sense. We're getting ready to go fight a battle. It doesn't matter, Joshua, if it makes sense. If I say do it, do it. Then he tells him, what is it, chapter 6, chapter 7, I don't even know, the walls of Jericho. He says, hey, Joshua, chapter 6, he says, Joshua, hey, I want you to take the children of Israel. I want you to march around the city of Jericho. I want you to march around one time a day for 6 days. And on the seventh day, I want you to march around 7 times. And I want you to blow the trumpet. And he said, the walls are going to come falling down. What? Joshua's a man of war. He's a soldier. Joshua's probably thinking, God, I've never heard this strategy before. But he said, okay, God. You know, that's what's going to take to live in victory. We just got to obey God's commandments. I know they don't make sense. There may be some young Christian here that hasn't been saved real long. And you say, well, the preacher says I'm supposed to tithe. That doesn't make sense. I can barely even pay my bills. Hey, it doesn't have to make sense. Tithe. God says I'm supposed to witness, but I'm a shy person. It doesn't matter. Witness. God says I'm supposed to be in church faithfully, but you know, I my favorite football team's playing tonight's game at 4:30. A couple of us in here like that, right? But God said be in church. So I'm gonna be in church. You could go on and on. We could go on and on. It don't always make sense. You know, God's ways are not our ways. Young people, please, if you don't hear anything I say this morning, hear what I just said. Hey, God's ways are not our ways. You look around at this world and you say, well, it doesn't make sense. That's not the way they're doing it. That's not the way they're living. That's not the way that family's doing it. That's not the way Hollywood's doing it. That's not the way that the athletes are doing it. That's not the way the people I go to school are doing it. It doesn't matter. Hey, can I tell you what? They're doing it wrong if they're not doing it God's way. Just because everybody's doing it doesn't mean it's right. Jesus said, broad is the way that leadeth in destruction. Right? Straight is the gate. Narrow's the way that leadeth unto life. We just got to do what God says do, even when it doesn't make sense. There might be somebody, and I'm just going to throw this plug in there. We don't prime and prompt people. We don't have to. The Holy Spirit of God does. But there may be somebody, I've been there before. I can't tell you the times I've been there before. God's been speaking to your heart about giving to this building fund, and it does not make sense. You're thinking, no, God, I can't cut into that. That was for the vacation. Remember Brother David one time saying, that was for my boat. Brother David told us he done already went down to the sporting goods place, Gander Mountain. He picked his boat out and everything, and he said he knew the whole time God had told him that money wasn't for a boat. God's told you. You say, well, I can't do it. I can't afford it. We just came out of Christmas. I mean, you know, the New Year's coming. And it's wintertime. I mean, the power might go out. I might have to buy a generator. Hey, if God said do it, do it. Obey the commandments. Right? So you see, what does it take to get into victory? It takes observing the challenge. It takes obeying the commandments. If we're going to have victory in 2020, we must obey even when we don't understand. Psalm 119, verse number 9 says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. He said in verse number 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. In verse 165, he said, great peace have they which love thy law. Nothing shall offend them. I'm telling you, hey, if we're going to live in victory, we're going to have to obey God's commandments. Psalm 19, verse 7 says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More are they to be desired, are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them is great reward. You want to live in victory this year? There it is. Keeping of them is great reward. I shall make your way prosperous, God said. Thou shalt have good success. How? By keeping the commandments, by obeying the commandments. So we see, observe the challenges, obey the commandments. Next, I'll say this, there needs to be often or organized cleansing. You want to live in victory? I mean, is there somebody here this morning that's tired of the wilderness? I'm afraid, and I'm just one of those guys, I'm just honest, okay? So I'm just going to be honest with you. I'm afraid there's probably some people in here, maybe even some young people, I deal with them on a regular basis. You're okay out there in that wilderness. You say, well, God's supplying for me. God's sustaining me. God's shielding me. God's taking care of me. I'm just going to stay out here in the wilderness. Can I tell you, hey, if you want to, God will let you. God's not going to make you leave that wilderness. He'll let you wander around out there for 40 years. He'll let you die in that wilderness if that's what you choose to do. But can I tell you, hey, he's got something so much better. Something so much better. You know why some people don't want to go and get out of that wilderness? Because they're going to have to get clean if they do. Look in chapter 3, verse 5. Chapter 3, verse 5, it says, and Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Chapter 7, verse number 15. Verse 13, I'm sorry. Up, sanctify the people. And say, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou canst not stand before thine enemies until ye take away the accursed thing from among you. God says, hey, you want to live in victory? And I'm almost done. Please hang with me. I understand it's hot in here. I'm hotter than anybody, I bet you. I don't know. Sue said, I got my fan going. Amen. Hey, I'm telling you, listen to me. I'm real close to being done, but this is important. If we're going to live in victory, there's going to have to be often cleansing. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God told the children of Israel here, He told Joshua in chapter number 7, He said, Joshua, there's sin in the camp. You know, I'm not going to go into it with Achan. He said, Joshua, if you want to stand before your enemies, if you want to win this battle that you're about to go into, you're going to have to deal with that sin in the camp. You're going to have to get it cleansed. You're going to have to sanctify yourselves. And I'm telling you, if we're going to live in victory this year, there are going to have to be some cleansing in our lives. We're going to have to organize a cleansing. We're going to have to keep a short account with God. I keep thinking about that message that Brother Ouellette preached about the presumptuous sins, right, that lead to the great transgression. There may be some people in here this morning that are involved in presumptuous sins, those little things that you think are not going to affect you, but God says, hey, if you want to stay in the wilderness, you can keep on with that sin in your life. But hey, David, if you want to get over in the land of victory, you're going to have to deal with those little sins. The Bible says a little leaven leaveneth a lump. The Bible says in the Song of Solomon, it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. You see, those presumptuous sins, those little things that we think does not matter. Hey, God says they do matter. They do matter. And if you're not careful, they're going to lead to the great transgression, and you're not going to be living in the land of promise. God says, Joshua, sanctify yourselves. And he said, hey, when you deal with Achan, I want you to leave a pillar of stones there. He said, I want all the children of Israel. If you read about it, he said, leave a memorial there in that valley so that every time they pass by, they'll remember, hey, God is serious about sin. I'm afraid we're getting to a time in our day where people are not serious about sin. But can I tell you, whether people are serious about sin or not, it doesn't matter. God is. And there's a lot of people wandering around in the wilderness, and they say, oh, I'm not in the wilderness. God takes care of me. God took care of them in the wilderness. I really want us to get that in today. God took care of them in the wilderness, and God will take care of you in the wilderness, and God will take care of me in the wilderness. But we can be living in victory. We don't have to stay in the wilderness. But if we're going to get into victory, there's going to have to be a cleansing. We have to get sin out of our lives. We have to deal with that thing that's standing before us. He said there's going to have to be an organized, often cleansing. And then it said this in chapter number 5. Chapter 5. One of my favorite portions of Scripture in all the Bible. I'm coming to a close. Verse 13, it said, and it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with a sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? I can tell you right now, Joshua was not a coward. Joshua didn't tuck and run. He went over there, who you for, buddy? We getting ready to fight a battle around here. My God said, we're going to beat somebody. And is it you? I need to take you out. But look what happens. He said, nay. I like how Jesus answers him. It fires me up. I don't know if it fires anybody else up here, but that just fires me up. He didn't really answer his question whose side he was on. He said, nay. I'm not on your side, you're on mine, Joshua. He said, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, and for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. You say, how am I going to get to victory, Brother David? You're going to have to make obeisance to the captain. Obeisance to the captain. You say, what is obeisance? I looked it up just in case. It means to bow down reverentially. Joshua came out there as thought he was the captain of the Lord's army. And he met the captain. And you know what he did? He didn't do what a lot of us do. Hang with me, I'm almost done. He didn't do what a lot of us do. No, that's not the way this thing's going to work. I'm not going to do this your way. I'm going to live this Christian life my way. It's not what Joshua did. He fell down before him, got on his face, and he said, what saith my Lord? What do you want me to do? I'm falling down before you. I'll do whatever you want me to do. And I tell you, that's the secret to living in victory. That is the secret to getting out of the wilderness. Are you willing this morning to do whatever he says do? Look at it one more time. Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant. He said, the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And look what Joshua did. It says, Joshua did so. Joshua said, you're the boss. You're the captain. You're the Lord. I'll do whatever you want me to do. Can I tell you, the next step in this phase here is opposition is conquered. Chapter 6, you know what happens in chapter 6? The walls of Jericho fall down. You know what happens in chapter 8? Ai is defeated. You know what happens in chapter 10 and 11 and on through? You read victory after victory after victory. God gave the children of Israel victory. Why? Because they understood, Joshua understood, it's going to take observing the challenges. It's going to take obeying the commandments. It's going to take an often cleansing. It's going to take obeisance to the captain. I wrote this down. I read it somewhere and I liked it. This one man said this. He said, in the Christian life, public victories are won in private. Did you get that? Public victories are won in private. You say, man, I see these people and God, you with these missionaries that come in here and God's used them to shake continents, and I see preachers that God's used. I mean, I look at this church and you say, how did God do this? Hey, this isn't all on our pastor. I'm not saying that by no means, but can I tell you, God uses men. But can I tell you, the victories that we've had here, most of those victories have been won in private. People praying for our pastor praying, other people praying, getting with God and saying, God, hey, give us the victory. Can I tell you, public victories are won in private. And Joshua understood that. Wasn't nobody around, but Joshua fell down. He worshiped the captain and said, I'll do whatever you want me to do. And the Bible says this, it says in Psalm 91:1, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. You want to have victory? You want to get out of the wilderness? I believe the book of Joshua gives us a formula for getting out of the wilderness. I'll say this as I close. Maybe there's somebody here that's lost. I've been preaching to Christians that are wandering around aimlessly in the wilderness. But you say, I'm not even a Christian. I'm still in Egypt. I'm still a slave to the taskmaster. Can I tell you, hey, there's an opportunity for change. This goes for you too. There's an opportunity for change. All you got to do is observe the challenge before you. Sin is the challenge. The Bible says that the soul that sinneth, it shall die. It says, wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death. You see, what's before you is sin. That's what was before me before I got saved, sin. That's the obstacle that's in our way. That's the challenge that needs to be observed is sin. We were shaping in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me, is what the psalmist said. And so you see, you there's an opportunity for change. You observe the challenge. You obey the commandments. God says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You obey the commandment of God. You get a cleansing. You pray. You ask God to forgive you of your sin. You repent of your sin and you get cleansed of your sin. And then you make obeisance to the captain. You fall down this morning. I'm telling you, somebody this morning could get set free. Somebody this morning could get out of the bonds of slavery in Egypt and the chains of slavery in this world. And all you have to do is come down to this altar and make obeisance to the captain, not to the preacher, not to the church, but to Jesus Christ, and say, Lord, I want to accept you as my Lord and Savior. Here am I, and I want to trust you. And I can tell you one thing right now. Hey, the opposition will be conquered. The devil will lose a soul today if you'll do that, if you're lost. So Christian or not, hey, here's a formula. I sound like I'm from Greene County. A formula for getting out of the wilderness. Amen. Heads bowed and eyes closed. We'll have the